prepare to turn out his own brand of twisted craziness. About this twisted craziness, there is a table at the back of the ballroom featuring his books such as Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas. Fear and Loathing on the Campaign Trail, and his newest book, The Curse of Lano. Today is the first of 8 nationwide dates that our guest will be doing. We are very honored to be the first stop. And we're very honored. UCLA is honored to host a man who was described by William F. Buckley as eliciting the same kind of admiration one would feel for a streaker at Queen Victoria.
Precisely when Ed meets the former prosecutor in Berkeley in the 60s, who has a lot of grudges to settle, for sure. He's appointed Attorney General, and when this genuine fascist, a working Nazi out of Colorado, Joe Kurz. And he's even half considered to replace me as the person who works with Reagan on a day-to-day basis in the White House. I think he was turned down, even though he put a billboard outside of the window that Reagan could see. He looked sweeping his gaze, sweeping across the lawn. There's a Coors billboard somewhere, just to remind him. But I think we're talking about a situation that is going to clearly get more dangerous, because I don't believe this president can accept any more humiliations by Arabs. Somebody, I'm sure, the vision of the president of Egypt standing in the press room of the White House flogging the president and insisting that the Israelis must leave Lebanon and that the PLO, in fact, must come back in, was an unusual one. And I don't think that, I think basically that the people in this country will accept a fascist president. As long as he does a good job. And you get the thing, say, comparing Grenada to Lebanon. Nobody argued about Grenada. And it really wasn't an ugly war, not a war at all. But I don't think people in this country were ready to see us chased out of the Middle East and had the president hiding in some weird compound in Santa Barbara the entire week. People appearing on the TV screen with their black bars across their eyes. Is it his advisors? No one wanted to take responsibility for that policy. And all we could see of the president was at the far end of some telescopic lens, half white horse running in circles with his old man clinging to it. And Larry Speed, meanwhile, in the White House, trying to make sense of what the president either wanted to say or couldn't. Because the Joint Chiefs of Staff had, in effect, overruled it, 1/11. And it's very dangerous to have a president who is even more militant and more demented than the generals that we. So it's basically your bottom line right-wing militarist, and every one of them was opposed all along, and then publicly, to the Lebanese fiasco. And I think 4 more years of that, of using the military for political purposes, would be, as a gambler, I would bet that we would not get away with it, because one more defeat like Lebanon, which we're looking for right now with the trying to warn the Iranians to not blow up the Straits of Hormuz and kill off half the world's oil supply, we're committed to doing something there, and that something could be the use of tactical nuclear weapons. Because we clearly can't fight these Arabs. There are not enough Marines to go in there and control the Lebanese. And these new missile launching destroyers they built at the cost of $50 billion, or $1 billion at least, 50 of them, have a success ratio in target practice of something like 1 in 19 shots. You saw what happened to Lieutenant Goodman. They sent planes in after the battleships couldn't hit the target, and the planes were shot down. So and looking back to Carter's invasion of Iran the first time, they were trying to get the hostages out. We've had bad luck in the Middle East. It's an open question whether the country could vote for war if it were, if it came up as a proposition of a ballot. I'm not sure. But I think there would not be much of a vote in favor of a losing war. And I think that's the point we've come to with Reagan. where if he's in a fight winning war, that's fine. But the evidence suggests he's not going to, and therefore we have to consider another hideous defeat and bring nuclear weapons into it. I've been talking for way too long. Let me...
Can we talk about the Pulitzer story that was in Rolling Stone a while back? Can you give us any follow-up remarks on that, or just some of your basic impressions of what you saw down in West Palm Beach, Florida?
It's hard for me to even talk about that without massive amounts of drugs.
Okay, right over here to the right. right? Your question?
Hi. Do you enjoy writing political type of pieces more, or writing things more like Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas?
Good question.
Just as even the stock market recognizes, the ineffective nature of the plundering around and pulling it out of the pulling the Marines out and lying about it, the President hiding in Santa Barbara. These are all small things, I'm sure you've heard of. But it would be funny if it only lasted for a week or so. But the idea that this this giddy old man is going to run amok after he's reelected. And we have to also face the fact that the Republicans don't need Reagan once he gets reelected. Right now he can do anything he wants. He can wander around in a jockstrap and why they would be in serious trouble if Reagan's temper or senility got out of control. Because they wouldn't get elected. Maybe they could not elect George Bush on that sort of platform. I doubt that Bush would run on it. He's the one who called Reaganomics voodoo economics a long time ago. Everything that has been said about Reagan, or is being said, it's really been said before, and by people in his own party. But I really do think it's alarming that the change that will occur once and if he gets reelected. At that point, you see a whole shift in priorities. The party doesn't need him. He doesn't need the party. And I think it would be an orgy of profit-taking of some sort. With the assumption being that probably a Democrat would win anyway the next time around. So it would be a sort of barricading the White House off and the Treasury Department and looting it. massive profits, a variety of wars with the Nicaragua. And Mexico was being mentioned more and more as a possible target. You agree with that? Invade those bastards. They've caused us enough trouble. Well, the Russian ambassador to the country mentioned missiles in Mexico. I heard this on TV one Sunday morning. Kind of a shock to hear a Russian speaking very rationally about missiles in Mexico. I was thinking, where in Mexico now? Yeah, there's a difference between Tijuana and Veracruz. But, yeah, I think that's, well, Canada. We haven't done too well with Canada either. The Prime Minister came out of the White House and talked about his peace initiative, and the White House leaked a sort of backstairs statement that he was really a degenerate dope fiend anyway.
Yeah.
And they wanted nothing to do with his peace plan because he was a freak, fool, and they said a smoker of dope. Great. I like Trudeau, but I think he has been a good prime minister. I vote for Trudeau in Canada, I think. Yeah, I wish he were president of this country.
Margaret.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I saw her in Montreal recently, and she weighs about 200 pounds now.
Doctor, over here to your left.
Stay there.
We're gonna go right over here to the left for a question.
Yo, doctor, how did you get off the island in your last book? I was under the impression that you were stranded there with your Hawaiian friend bringing you drugs and booze, and nobody wanted to see you. How did you get off the island?
Well, you're the first person to ask that question. A lot of questions asked about that book. I really can't. I'm not free to disclose it.
Yeah.
That's a no-win question for me. Thank you for asking it.
What's coming up?
Oh, yeah, I'm late on another one, though. I'm late on another one about Cubans and violence and the Keys. I seem to be getting more and more to Cubans and South America. Cocaine. Well, I've been to that. I found the cocaine is far too dangerous a drug. But though it's not cocaine so much that's dangerous, it's the people who do it. Cocaine has been around for a long time. And as long as 1% of the population are just a simple coke fiend, that's fine. Then it's just an eccentric tick. It's been around, it's like Negro musicians or something. It's colorful. But when 50% of the population turns into coke fiends, or even Negro musicians for that matter. It's not a qualitative film, but it's quantitative. Or if the people were into 50% of the population drink gin all the time.
Sir!
There's nothing wrong with gin. But if I knew that half of you were seriously drunk on gin, and it was a 50-50 chance that I may be too. Yeah. How many people here are actually drunk right now?
Yeah!
It's still only about 10%. See, the game would change if 50 people, or 50% of you were real drunk. And that would make gin a dangerous drug. I think as long as no game were restricted to the eccentric few like me, handguns and swords and things like that, as long as the few eccentrics carry them around, it's all right. But everybody's carrying swords and handguns or daggers, pints of gin and little bags of cocaine.
Abel!
Yeah, I haven't had any Abel for a while.
Neither have I.
You bastard.
Let's go over to this side for a question.
Doctor. As an acknowledged expert in pioneering new fields of wasting away your leisure time, how do you cope with finally being bored with the basic 10 drugs? What recommendations do you turn to?
In terms of drugs or is or alternatives?
Oh, please, feel free to don't feel like that.
Well, I turn to boats. And there's always violence, and there's always booze. And there's always politics. Yeah, you're right, drugs have become, now that they're so widespread, it's not really an adventurous thing to do. It's interesting sometimes, but it really becomes more of a habit. It's like drinking beer. My own cure has been to move down to islands and the south, and you can get in a lot of trouble with a fast boat if you don't know about the ocean at all. There are no lights on the ocean. And you know the roads, they're called channels. And they're just marked by extremely high poles mounted in concrete that if you hit, destroys the whole boat and kills your boat. And the other thing about the gun and the Keys, the water is so shallow that you have to get the boat up on a plane, which means going fast, in order not to hit the bottom and destroy your engine. So to go slow and wallow around is to get you in more trouble than just going at top speed with no lights on. You can drive from here to Bakersfield on roads at night that have no lights on. There are no street lights in the ocean. The boat has no lights. So you're just going at top speed in the darkness. You don't really need drugs to get high on the ocean.
Yeah, I was rereading The Boys in the Bag and The Scum Also Rises the other day, and...
That's my favorite title, I think, of all. The most apt.
I was noticing the similarities between the Nixon administration and the present administration.
Well, they were amateurs.
Pardon me?
They were amateurs, Nixon, in terms of evil.
Later, Watergate gets a four-line paragraph in the history books, and professors are saying Nixon was just any other president who got caught. What is this? This seems to be, voters, too, in the re-election of Reagan, they seem to have this forgetfulness. Are they just assholes? What is this? do we get the president we deserve, like Adlai Stevenson said?
I think you've been both asked and answered the question. That's what I said with Jimmy Carter. That was kind of true. I believe that the thinking of the Reagan administration is precisely that. That people don't want to have to question the president's competence or their thinking is that he's better off appearing to be some combination of John Wayne and the Sun King, and not caring about what goes on, being in Santa Barbara when the Marines are being chased out of Lebanon. The assumption of this administration is that people, yes, would rather see that, would rather have a sort of symbolic monarch as a president than have some president like Carter, who's constantly embroiled in details and staying up all night to planning invasions, and meanwhile letting hundreds of thousands of Cubans into the country. That was a mad house. That was one of the highest kinds of Calvinists I've ever seen in politics. And I like those people when they were friends of mine. But the assumption is that what caused Carter the presidency was that he was perceived as being too busy, and he had sort of dirty hands with the everyday business and politics, and that what the American people want is really somebody. That's true too. It's, you do wonder why we are the only nation in the world that is just afflicted with every drug that comes along, ever invented, is taken up over here as a routine kind of habit by everybody. No nation in history of the world has been affected by waves of weird drugs as this one. We do use almost all of them. I'm not sure that the French are certainly not free of the heroin problem. But they don't worry about it. The government doesn't worry about it. They don't have people prowling the streets all the time, locking up junkies. And they wonder why we're so alarmed about the drug imports from all over the world. And I think people in other countries are thinking, what the hell is going on over there? You know, why is the opium poppy such a problem in Washington? We don't care about it. But that's a question that's going to be answered, I think, in the election, the presidential election. If the he was given 6 months to expose himself more and more, shamefully, very embarrassing measures. The president is not going to get smarter between now and he's not going to get any younger. He's not going to change his mind about anything. And there's no way they're going to be able to effect any sort of change, even with situations like the Secretary of the Treasury and the National Economics Advisor are almost getting in a fist fight in Congress over the deficit. We're in for a pretty bumpy ride to election time. I think what they had in mind in the White House was having all this thing come apart 6 months from now. The market crashing, wars in Iran and Mexico. Just let us get reelected first. I think this is Lebanon. They took it by surprise. And it was a signal. You hear these signals at night if you're a politics junkie like I am. And the phone rings, and it's people you haven't heard from for a while. Everybody, after 4 or 5 hours of a night like that Lebanon crisis, you begin to get a sense from the people who call that there may be more fun in running against this president than we thought last week, but he can be beaten. And in fact, that's probably a perception of mine that hadn't been real strong until recently. I thought to my chagrin, whatever that's a bad word for it, but they seemed to be so slick that no matter what I thought, they were still going to win by 60-40 or more. I don't think that anymore. I think they're not nearly as slick as we thought. And we took it for granted they were dumb, greedy, and mean. But it appeared for a while with, let's say, the case of Grenada, where they actually launched an invasion and made it appear that American power and military might was not only effective, but cheap and colorful. I was in there for, I spent about 6 weeks with the 82nd Airborne down there. And it was nice, it was wonderful. I think about 8 Marines were killed in combat-related incidents. And that happens every day on every exercise. One person a day is moderate. Presumably, we should check the casualty figures for Big Pine, too. That's taken for granted. In Fort Bragg, I think that's probably the case. If you were out to play with hand grenades and lambs and bazookas and landmines, people were going to be killed. Just learning how to do it. They did sell Grenada as evidence that the U.S. can still use the carrot and the stick at the same time. But essentially, Grenada was a PR move to take attention off of the disaster that had happened in Iran 2 days earlier, when 239 Marines were killed by that one blast in the compound. The invasion of Grenada, which is essentially just another exercise that had been planned and rehearsed for a while, was done, and that took it was a very skillful move. It took public opinion, the public focus, away from a genuine disaster in Lebanon. It had been since the Battle of Bull Run, or Iwo Jima, or maybe even Gettysburg, since that many Americans had been killed in combat in one day. And no single day in the Vietnam War were 239 American casualties taken. And within 24 hours, that was the focus on that was changed very skillfully to the peaceful and happy invasion of Grenada, 10-1 public approval. But it didn't last very long. We had to go back to Lebanon. That didn't go away. And I think it was George Will, the right-wing columnist who speaks for the White House, a nice guy and a smart guy, who said that what the administration has learned lately now is that if we're going to play around with the use of American military power in the world, we had better stick to places like Grenada. That comes from the president's man who helped him rehearse for the Carter debates in the 1980 election, which I guess fine. I'm a good partisan myself in politics. But we just want to keep in mind that that's what George Will, a spokesman for the White House, has said. And that's pretty alarming that we can't use American military might anywhere except in, it's like saying and beating India over some surfing community. We simply can't take on the mean powers in the world that they're ready to take us on. So that's a change in things. It isn't as if we can, our final option is just to say, well, the hell with them, we can't even understand their goddamn language, man, pull the thing, and then they'll go away. They're just their ups from the hell. They won't go away, and the thing doesn't always work. So I believe this is a change in our attitude vis-a-vis the rest of the world. And it's going to be real different. Nobody in this country has ever assumed that we couldn't make our policies work and we couldn't scare the rest of the world into accepting them, whether they liked it or not. That's changing now. And it's going to send a wave of nervousness across the country. During an election year, that's unhealthy. So,
we wanted to go over here for a question.
Dr. Thompson, considering you're the consummate political junkie, is there any chance of your repeating your 1970 run in Aspen for sheriff or any other higher office in Colorado?
Well, I'd like you to, hello, Ryan. Walter Mondale, who said he could quit the presidential race maybe 2 years before somewhere back in the 70s, saying he didn't have the stomach to run for politics. It was too ugly a business. He didn't want to run for president. It just quit, dropped out, which I admired. And so have I. I've done that. You notice that Mondale's running for president, though. And I would hope that I would not get involved in politics physically. It's not nearly as much fun as to get involved in it in a more criminal way. I enjoy being part of the conspiratorial aspect of politics. But not making, this is as close as I can come to making a speech. I don't believe I've convinced a lot of you should vote for me. That's not what I was trying to do.
Okay, on this side, another question?
Doctor, you've been described as a world-class paranoid. I wonder
if that...
prostituted for the good of the administration.
People are going to prostitution.
What do the American people have to do to get someone like you to cover the White House, at least for maybe a couple of weeks? No way home.
I would despise that personally.
Who's gonna play by the American rules and not the administration's?
It's a higher calling, Hunter.
Well, I think that in the past 2 weeks, you've seen some of the sort of main cogwheels turn. I noticed
cog or clock.
Well, just wheels, cogwheels. I think there are certain people in the media who sort of speak for the media. And politically, I think of people like David Broder, Anthony Lewis, the people at Brinkley, Chancellor. There are certain voices that really say to do more than report the news. And I was just praying myself. I noticed that after the president a few months ago, I think his last press conference, had spoken twice in a matter of a week about his firm belief in the concept of Armageddon, and the book of Revelation. Why he gets excited about the drug problem and Mr. T and it's a degrading thing to see that bastard in the White House wobbling around. I have no quarrel with Ronald Reagan's right to live in Santa Barbara, run by horses, or even make stupid and outrageous comments on the national political stance. But to see him in the White House is embarrassing, really, for me.
So you can go to the White House and cover it, right?
I guess the truth is I would, if I had to. But only be a brief thing. You know, politics, you get hung up on it, and you don't just go into the White House once in order to get the proper attitude with them and stance. You sort of have to be around for a while, and it's not enough to go in there and say that, well, I know you're lying or I know you're wrong. It takes a while to achieve a sort of balance with them where they know that they're wrong too. And when you see Larry Speaks on TV, behind the president at a press conference, standing back over in his wing, for instance, while Reagan is staring out at the 200 reporters in the press room, and the story on Hottie Carter's press thing he does on PBS, they were talking about the White House staffers worrying about the president being just a little bit, his attention span is not long, and he forgets his own cabinet people's names and people work for him. And that was the thrust of the story. And then basically they were saying that staff people have a hard time controlling the president. That's why they don't let him out in the press conference. And behind Reagan, over in this wing, it was clear that the camera up in that balcony set. And it seemed to me that all the rest of the press people saw it. Was Speaks going, pointing at the president, but we couldn't see him. And I thought, oh my God, who lives in Georgia? You're essentially some sort of a teenage punk who inherited a job from Brady, who's never even been appointed press secretary, on national television, giving the giant hook to the press. Not even a signal to the press. They could have flashed him on his beeper. He has various scrolls and things in front of him. But no, Speaks was talking to the cameras. Stop this, cut this off, don't let that bastard run anymore. It was shocking. It was like the Joint Chiefs turning an announcement on the president. That's something you don't see. We're seeing signs here that are just not normal. The Secretary of the Navy saying utterly contradictory things. The president actually abandoning Washington and uttering a different policy from the one whatever was coming out of the White House, refusing to admit that he's going to cut and run. This is what, 6 months, 7 months away. Yeah, it may be necessary, or it might even be fun to see the fall of the House of Reagan. Brought down by its own weight.
If you did it, I think you'd find a lot of anxious readers. Topic.
Aren't you going to collect a whole bunch of checks here? I get my... I need a lot of stimulus to cover that way, though.
We
have time for a couple more questions, so we'll go over to this side now.
And then lunch.
Above civility.
And ether.
Give me your girlfriend. Your friend back in the...
The president is giving us the benefit of his wisdom. I do have a question. Do you think Jesse Jackson would be an effective running mate for Walter Mondale?
Black people are running for president. Only if Mondale needs Jackson to, if Mondale perceives he needs Jackson to beat Reagan. And for that to happen, Jackson's going to have to bring in a lot of votes and show very strongly, not in New Hampshire so much as in the southern states, the next primaries. If that's how politics works. If Mondale beats Jackson in order to pick up 10% more or win five southern states, yes. I enjoy Jackson. I think he's brought a lot of light to the campaign. And in a crunch, I'd still vote for Montgomery. But I would not be surprised to see Jesse Jackson running with Mondale. But I wouldn't really anticipate it either, but I don't think that.
Bet on it?
I bet against it. Just because I don't think Mondale is going to need him at the convention. I don't think the Democratic race is going to turn into a two-man contest by then, where the 10% of the vote that Jackson could bring to Mondale would be decisive. You bet he'll be there if Mondale needs his 10%, and he can deliver it. I would be there. If I had 10%, I could deliver it. I would be vice president. But at the moment, I don't anticipate Mondale requiring that. He won't be forced to make that deal. It wouldn't bother him. I think, you know, that's how politics works. So anybody who will bring them, as George Bush did in, with Reagan, he brought Texas into the fold, he brought some the Eastern Republican money and respectability or patina of it. You know, you can see Jesse Jackson as vice president if Mondale needs it. And meanwhile, I think Jesse brings a lot of, he elevates the level of the dialogue, as does McGovern, as Grant and Dan Cranston. As people like Cranston and Jackson, McGovern, are in the race, it makes the others a little more honest. They can't get away with all the bullshit that they would normally throw at us. And that sense is very valuable.
Okay, another question over here.
Hunter, allow me to set the scene for you. 1889, President Jesse Jackson has asked you to travel to the Soviet Union and represent America as a goodwill ambassador.
I've been borrowed by the USIA.
And in addition to that, he's asked you to head off a nuclear attack on Iran. But let me say one more thing. Sybil Shepherd has asked you, has invited you down to the Bahamas for a week-long coke and fuck party. What will you do?
I would probably agree to go to Russia and then go to the Bahamas anyway. I would then go from the Bahamas to Russia. And settle the problem. If he came back with your version of bullshit, of course I'd stay in the Bahamas. That's about it. I think that's a smart thing to do.
Can I ask if you've ever been approached to make any of your work into a film? Would you ever consider that, or do you consider Hollywood scum the worst?
Where the Buffalo Road.
Excuse me, there was one. Where the Buffalo Road. Did you ever want to see any of your other works?
Billy Murray.
Oh, sorry. You want to take one more from this side? We'll take the last question from this side.
Yes, earlier you mentioned the proverbial character stick in terms of relationship to Granada.
Somebody's talking, I know that.
Turning that around a little bit, I was wondering if you consider sex with vegetables sodomy or just good nutrition? Sex with vegetables. Something that's just a vegetarian health freak's version of the old cigar box full of liver. I don't know, sex with vegetables. It sounds like desperation to me. I don't want to hear about that. Chicken, goats, whatever. Vegetables, I don't think. Unless you know something I don't. Jesus Christ.
To a close, I want to thank each and every one of you for attending, and of course we'd like to thank Dr. Thompson.